All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour. I don't know exactly what we're going to call this one because it's the first one, but basically it's the fan spotlight, and any of the patrons that donate at least $5 a month, you get eligible for the magnet, and you get in the drawing every month to where you get to talk to me or Andrew for like 5 to 10 minutes about anything, and the first winner is Eric Flint. We did the original drawing, and I weighted it because we have about 7 people that have been donating for like 2.5 years, even before we started the cool stuff where we really tried to drive the donations. And Eric was one of the, he's either the first or second longest donor we have, so I was really excited that he won. Eric, thanks for joining me. You are the initial winner. You can put this on your mantle as totally worthless things that you've bought in your life.
It is one of the highlights. Thank you, Ralph.
So, awesome. I guess you got a New Orleans number. So, give me like your Saints fandom, like encapsulated, like your first Saints memory that you have.
It goes back to the 80s, I guess. I mean, really, started.
Oh, you're old like me. If you're talking 80s,
yes.
I like that.
Yes. Yeah, I'm 40. And it started right around when they started winning. So I don't consider it bandwagon because I was only 6 or 7.
Yeah.
But it started right about then.
Yeah, I mean, my first memory for the Saints.
I have a theory that that's how.
Well, my first memory with the Saints
My theory is that the pessimists, the Saints, the haters are the ones who existed before the Mora years and lived through the bum years. And those of us who came up with the Dome Patrol are kind of the homers.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk to a Saints fan that's like over the age of like 50, and they never like the doom and gloom and everything is going to end horribly and I'm never going to really be happy. Like the over 50 Saints fans, they're like that. But I feel like the ones that are like our age, like 40 to 42 and younger, like for me, the Super Bowl kind of like washed all my negativity away. And yeah, San Francisco in 2011 and last year versus Minnesota put it a little bit back and you have the feeling of dread. But like my first Saints memory is Walter Payton breaking the rushing record in 83, I think it was. They stopped the game, bum went to midfield and shook his hand. But like what's your first, as a kid, like your first Saints memory?
The first one that stands out, I mean, I used to watch them. I remember seeing them, but the first specific one was watching them make the playoffs the first time. I was watching with my grandma, and I just remember stepping out into the yard and screaming, and I was hooked, from that point. And I would say watching it with my grandma and my father, who are both two of the most negative Saints fans. I mean, my grandmother's passed now, but she'd get mad at the replays of the bad plays, like constantly. So, having to kind of balance out that negativity was the way I came up.
Yeah. So, as you look, like when you look at the Saints, like is there besides like winning the Super Bowl or other things, like what's a memory of a Saints fan that you're like, that memory was great, and it's not the Super Bowl, and it's not Gleason, but it's something just random, some random game that they won that sticks with you, that you're like, that'll keep me being a Saints fan forever.
They're not that random. The two that are probably stick out the most is I was at the first playoff win.
Against
the Rams.
Yeah,
that was amazing.
Brian,
I remember
Hill.
Some Rams fans just as they were coming back, and it seemed like they were definitely going to come back.
Oh, that was dark times when you were thinking they are going to blow a 31-7 lead. I cannot believe this is happening.
If that game was 25 seconds longer, they would have beat us. I mean, they just were roaring back. And we had some Ram fans right by us who were talking so much shit in that last 5 minutes. And when Hakeem dropped the ball, it was just insane. I remember walking out of the Dome and giving a homeless person like $10 right there on the street.
I've never seen people so happy in my life.
Oh my God, it was amazing.
They had a guy, and I think I've told this story in the podcast before. They had a guy when we were walking out the plaza, like because we were, or the terrace, you the escalators are shut down, so you just walk out the Dome, right, and you just keep going ran around to the bottom, right. They had a guy and a woman on his shoulders, and she was topless, and she was just screaming at people, "We won the fucking playoff game! Look at my tits! Look at them!" And it was just the most New Orleans thing I think I'd ever seen. It was like, show your tits for beads, but like connected to football. And it was just like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, they've won a playoff game, people are going bananas, and this woman is on this dude's shoulder and she's topless.
Growing up, it's amazing.
But one of my memories that sticks with me for the Saints forever is in '87 when they beat San Francisco, in San
Oh, yeah.
Francisco, and they blocked a they that team blocked 9 kicks in '87, and they blocked a field goal, and Johnny Poe ran it back for a touchdown. I remember just like running up and down the hall in my parents' house in Lakeview, just like euphoric. Like, it was just, I just thought it was like the greatest thing ever, because at that time I'm like 11, so my Saints history, like, I'm just now like getting, you're just now getting into football, and at that time you feel like you haven't seen everything. Now that we're like 40, right, Eric? Like, we've seen every kind of play under the sun, even the Minnesota
Right.
game last year. You kind of seen it, but like when you're 11 and you see like a blocked field goal for the first time, you're like, oh my God, that's amazing. But
Especially when your kicker is Morton Anderson and you know that field goals can be missed. That
exactly.
and beating the 49ers back then, that was like,
Oh,
the Rebels beating the Death Star. Like, it was incredible.
I mean, just the 49ers just owned the Saints. There's just so many traumatic memories, and it got me thinking this week of, they play Cleveland, and the last time the Saints beat Cleveland in the Dome, Steve Walsh was the quarterback, and he actually came in and replaced John Forcade. And I remember one of my traumatic memories with the Saints is John Forcade in 1990 on a Monday night. The Saints played San Francisco, and they lost, I think, 17-12 or 16-12, and basically what it was the Dome Patrol just stoned the 49ers for 4 quarters. But the Saints did the Atlanta Falcons what they did Thursday, where they got in the red zone like 5 times and only kicked 4 field goals, and they ended up losing because Joe Montana threw a touchdown with like 20 seconds left. And it just sticks with me because that was one of the first times the Saints were on Monday Night Football where it felt like they opened on Monday Night Football. And Monday Night Football, it's not like it is now where they open on, they have the Thursday night game, and then they have the Sunday night game,
Right.
and the two Monday night games. So the Monday night game, the opener is kind of diluted. But man, in like 1990, when you opened on Monday Night Football at
Oh,
home,
you had arrived.
that was like, it was like, oh my God, we're playing on Monday Night Football to open the year. Like, the Saints are no longer like this running gag. Like, we are for real now, and it just broke your heart. But we're recording this third. We're recording this Wednesday, and it's running on a Friday. How much fear do you have for Cleveland as a fan? I
Oh,
want to get the fan pulse.
I hate these games. Like, there is nothing worse than a game that we should win, especially coming out of after what we just saw, and we don't actually know if the team's good or not. But there's nothing worse than a game like Cleveland, where we have everything to lose. Like, this kind of game, especially with Cleveland, just terrifies me. But I think it works in our favor that last week's game went the way it did, that the defense has to have a massive chip on its shoulder. I'm just not going to be comfortable until we've got 4 touchdowns on the Browns, though.
I'm watching Cleveland Pittsburgh right now. It's in overtime, and Cleveland is a hot. They're weird because they alternate between being a hot mess and a competent team as I watch the game.
It feels like they're going to be like a dangerous 6-win team or something. Like, they're gonna beat some good teams this year, but not be competent enough to, really pull
Well,
out a winning season.
I think their secondary has issues. Pittsburgh's really pushed them around, which is not good. It's not a good sign for them when they got pushed around at home, obviously, because they're playing the Saints on the road for them. So it'll be interesting.
Right.
I just feel like the thing is, if the Saints lose to Cleveland and Cleveland snaps the 18-game winless streak against the Saints, like, that's something that Atlanta fans and other fan bases can throw in our face forever. And I like that's one of the main reasons, besides 0-2, besides all that, like, I just don't want opposing fans and especially Atlanta fans to be able to throw that in our face. Like, the Saints have got to win this game. I don't care if it's 42-40 or 6-3. Like, they've got to win this football game just for my mental health on Twitter.
Well, that's, I mean, yeah, that's, I think, you know, shit talking with Atlanta is almost as important as the actual record and whatever the season was in
hindsight. It might be more important, to be honest.
Yeah, this would definitely give them, this would give them better material in my mind than the Minnesota Miracle, because I don't think that ever really hurt us as much as they think it hurt us.
I mean, like, the thing is with the Minnesota Miracle, it didn't hurt at the time because, one, Philadelphia ended up winning the Super Bowl, and two, you looked at the Saints and they're so young, you thought that they had more time and they could build, right? And you were building towards something. It wasn't the end. The Minnesota Miracle, if the Saints don't, if like they go back to the 7-9, 8-8 abyss, and Drew Brees never gets back to the playoffs, then we'll look back on the Minnesota Miracle and it'll hurt more. It'll be like the San Francisco game, because you'll feel like, oh man, it really was the end, and we didn't realize it. But right now we're like, whatever. But if they lose to
Cleveland, my God. It's like the 2006 season. Like, we're so happy to be there.
Yeah.
The expectations were so low, just getting there was enough. And the fact that we outplayed them in that game, you know, so it was a fluke. So it doesn't hurt me as much as, you know, blowing a 25-point lead.
Cleveland will hurt me. Cleveland will hurt me so deeply, Eric. I swear, if they lose to Cleveland, Channel 4 might need a 5-second delay for my Monday morning hit at 6:45.
It's going to be 90 seconds of sobbing on
camera. I'm not going to be wearing a bag. They said that it's too early. 0-2 is not a good time for me to wear a bag. So I won't be wearing a bag. But I may have like a prop or something to like convey my sadness and anger to Sheba and Jade and Eric Paulson. But
you can just lay a bag behind you. Have it sitting like out. People know it's in the coming.
Like, I'll have a sad Browns bobblehead next to me.
Yeah.
To
just
show
sitting there nodding. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But finally, you are in the Saints Children's League. And I think you've been in the Children's League every year we've had it.
This is third year.
Third year, right?
The first year, did terrible last year. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, my team in the Children's League, the auction I take more seriously because I feel like the strategy. My thing with the Children's League, I draft for comedy. And it's not that I don't want to be uncompetitive. I just want you guys that support us and pay the fee and everything. I want you to have fun on the draft day. And hey, people that are in the league,
that's horrible.
I do. I drafted a team that I want to hate. Like, I have like everybody in the South except Greg Olsen, and he got hurt. So I caught a break there.
Right.
But I want to hate watch the team, because I feel like I put this Ralph Marlboro stink on the whole NFC South, and I do a public service, right?
And none of us wanted to draft any of those guys.
Yeah, nobody wants to draft them. But the thing for fantasy is we have a great time, and I want people to know that. And I think the funnest thing about that league is that people know that I am completely reckless with trades. I've already had like 4 trade offers. Like, people offer me the most ridiculous trades, and like, I'll counter offer or do things. And like, the bigger and more ridiculous trades that people want to do, I am here for it. I will either destroy a good team or take a bad team and rearrange them and make them worse or make them a title contender. I don't care, because I look at fantasy, especially since I run the thing, and I don't want to win.
Yeah, you're not going to overrule yourself.
Yeah, I'm not going to overrule myself. But the thing is, like, I run the league. I really don't want to win the wrestling belt myself. So it's not that I'm, like, sabotaging my own team, but I really – like, winning is not the most important thing. The most important thing is that I'm like the commissioner, and I have to spread fun to everybody. So if I could do a ridiculous trade with everyone in the league, that would make me completely happy.
Scan your lineup for someone to post.
Final question, because you have been donating for the longest time. How did you discover our podcast?
Twitter.
Twitter.
At some point, yeah. I mean, at some point, I've transitioned my Saints news from Saints Report to Twitter, and you and Juge are two of the best on there.
Well, Juge knows what he's talking about. I make jokes. Eric, thanks so much. We cannot say enough for the people that, donate and allow us to do cool stuff. And if we've bought stuff, we fix the audio. And because of that, because of the better quality audio, people don't realize that, like, people are now finding us and listening to us, like media people and Streif and Triplett. And by having money to spend on better quality products, like, they listen to our podcast and they're like, oh, that's kind of professional. I'll go on that podcast. Where, like, before, I sounded like I was talking underwater with a snorkel and we couldn't really get good guests. Now we can get the good local Saints people that people want to hear, and it's because of fans like you that donate a little bit every month. And this is just a thank you that me and Andrew cooked up for you. So, Guy, thanks for giving me 20 minutes, and hopefully the Saints will beat Cleveland and we won't have the months and months of shame. And good luck in the Children's League.
All right, thank you, Ralph. I really appreciate it. Love the show.
All right, thank you.